What's Up Headlines.
Celtics beat the Bucks by two touchdowns last night. 120-106 in game two of their best of seven. Let's hear from Brad Stevens on Greg Monroe. He was pretty good last night.
Yeah, I thought he was good. He missed film yesterday because he was sick, so I don't know if that was part of the reason why he struggled in game one, but I thought he was really good today. Very active, very aggressive, played through him on offense. And then I thought defensively he got his hands on some balls, had a couple of blocks. Like, he was very, very, alert to what they were running. He was good.
As I said, 120-106, that's your final from the TD Garden last night. Celtics now up 2-0 over the Bucks. For the Bruins, they're practicing today. Their game four is happening tomorrow night in Toronto. Bruins with a 2-1 series lead has just announced that game five will take place at 8 o'clock on Saturday night at the TD Garden. Once again, just announced the start time for Bruins Maple Leafs game five. It's going to be at 8 p.m. Saturday night. TD Garden. Red Sox with a 10-1 win over the Angels last night. They'll play the middle of the three-game set this evening. Headlines are brought to you by D'Amico Dental Care in Watertown. Tony Maz's dentist utilizes 3D technology to replace broken or missing teeth. If you need a dental implant, visit D'AmicoDMD.com today. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
The road to another Boston championship goes through 98.5 The Sports Hub.
No!
Hear every Bruins and Celtics playoff game here.
He got it!
On Boston's home for sports. Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's a question, and it comes a week before the draft when the Patriots, I think no matter what Tom Brady was going to do, are going to have to make some quarterback decisions here.
Sure.
They have double first-round picks, double second-round picks, double ones, double twos. So even if Brady, in the unlikely event that he were not to return, they still have to go find a quarterback in this draft. Now, if he were somehow not to return, the need for that quarterback would be even more exacerbated than it is right now. But you're talking about a situation here where they're going to have to be on the lookout for a quarterback. And with those picks, I believe in the first two rounds that they will go get a quarterback at some point. And even Teddy Bruschi himself, who knows that organization very well, said a couple of weeks ago that he would be shocked if the Patriots didn't come away with a quarterback in the first two rounds of this draft.
Billy's in Waltham. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing, guys?
Hey.
I just want to say I am so tired of this Brady Patriots drama crap.
No, you're not.
The fan's job is to make him feel appreciated, okay? It's not Belichick's job to make the guy feel appreciated. Belichick's job is to tell him when he screws up and to field the best team possible. This guy's being a prima donna, and I'm kind of getting tired of it. I'm not willing to ship him out of town like everybody else.
What if he's not? What if he's not really screwing up, but Bill's using him as an example in front of the other young kids to set that forth with the team, and Tom's had enough of it?
I don't understand. What example is he? Would he be trying to set? Like, I don't.
We hear the stories about every Monday starts ripping Brady in front of the whole team. He's never
Brady's
been Patriot of
the
Week.
No, he's not above the team because he's Tom Brady. I love the guy. But he's going to be gone eventually, and the Patriots will go on without him. Like, it's not about Brady. I just feel like he thinks he's bigger than the team or something. I don't know. But I don't know. Either way, it's feeling like everybody's trying to blame Belichick on
okay.
that one, but it's not his fault. And it feels like Yoko Guerrero's breaking up the band.
It does. Now, I'm going to preface it with this, too, as far as the way you handle certain egos. And, you know, I made a good living doing what I did as a backup because I was also sort of a buffer between Parcells and Bledsoe, as was Chris Palmer or Ray Perkins. Ray Perkins was kind of older, didn't really know how to handle a young Drew, but I know how to keep the guy loose. Being around Brady is Bledsoe times a million. If that makes any sense. The guy can't do or go anywhere. He can, but it's on his terms and it's got to be private.
Is he wound a little tight? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm saying when you get in, yeah, he's He's different. He's intense. He's eccentric. He's a maniac in his approach, his preparation. And mentally at points, that's gotta wear on you as an individual. You've been doing this for 18, 19 years. The same thing. Bill hasn't changed. That's a big thing here, too. Bill's doing the same thing he's always done. Do what's best for the team. I run the team. Screw you. I don't blink. You don't call the shots. I do. It's my way or the highway. I think Brady's at a point 18 years that whether Guerrero's a buffer or not, I think Josh is a good buffer. Billy was a good buffer. I don't know if Charlie was. I think Josh is the ultimate buffer here, and I think that's why he's back, and that's good he's back. But if Guerrero mentally helps Brady, like, I feel good, and this and that, and now all of a sudden you take that one thing that has been a constant for me over how many years I've been doing this with Alex. Now you take that away, you know, during the week, during the prep, during the so-called grind. Man, now it's an issue. Like, I don't ask for much. You could break my balls in meetings, this and that. You can make an example out of me, and I know it's for the betterment of the team because you're trying to, you know, build and mold the young guys. Just give me this. Give me that escape, whether it's through massage, whether it's through talking to, whether it's through diet, whether it's through alternative medicine. I don't know what it is, but it makes me right. And now all of a sudden you take that away, and now you're starting to make me pissy. If that makes any sense. Now he doesn't become a problem, but he becomes agitated. And you don't want to go to a work environment when you're agitated. And I think that's a big part of this. The Guerrero thing is huge in this, guys.
David's in the car. Hey, David.
Yo. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, David.
So I think that it's ironic because somebody mentioned Cleveland. I actually think Brady could force a trade to Cleveland and then say back to Bill, I'm going to win in a place you couldn't. So it was me and not you.
Boy.
And by the way, the Malcolm Butler thing, go look at the timeline. Brady was all on board coming back, playing another 5 years. Belichick committed the cardinal sin. When you don't do what's best to win a football game, especially a Super Bowl, you lose credibility everywhere else. And no one's figured that out. I don't know why.
Well, I think we've discussed that at length, yeah. David. I don't think that one has had a lack of coverage.
I think there's some, and people like Rip Danny for leaving you, you're running your mouth now. He's not really running his mouth. He said, I'm a better player because of Bill. We were a better team because of what Bill did. Whatever actions, we may not have agreed with it, practicing outside, this and that. The Butler thing's a stickler when you're a player because that's a guy that's out there playing too and playing hard. We didn't get an answer.
Well, it is for Brady more than anybody else on that field because he's chasing number six the same way Bill is, and nobody else on that team was.
Had it. And it's not like you weren't close. It's there. It was there for the
team. Like, that's when I hear someone say, he's putting himself above the team. Well, you know what? For the most part,
he's chasing championships.
As a quarterback, not just Tom Brady, not exclusive to a guy who has five rings, you're sort of in a position between the team and the head coach. You're sort of a step above the rest of the team.
Tony Romo.
You're basically
that guy
management.
Never won. Tony Romo was God in Dallas, and he was God to Jerry.
You're just
that guy
are.
Never even won a thing, won anything. Peyton Manning. Why can Peyton Manning pick and choose where he wants to go? Because you're the guy. You're the guy. It's your offense.
Most quarterbacks are above the team.
Yes.
That if you're good.
Good ones.
If you're a really good quarterback, you are likely above the team. You're above the team so much that we saw a story this week that is ongoing in Green Bay.
Thank you.
Where Aaron Rodgers feels that he has a right to be involved in the team's personnel decisions. And he's pissed at his team because they haven't consulted him on the comings and goings of players this offseason. I don't think it's ever reached that level for Brady here. I don't think that's ever happened. I know that he's been upset when a guy is left because you don't want to lose the guys on your team. You don't want to lose your weapons. But I don't think he's ever said, you should have come and consulted me first.
Aaron's good. Aaron's a good player. They've let that thing fester. And you can blame McCarthy for that, for maybe lack of structure on offense and getting another guy ready. Because if you don't have Aaron Rodgers, you don't have anything. And when you
and
do have Aaron Rodgers, it's street
Tom
ball.
Brady,
he's got to improvise.
You don't have Tom Brady, your team is not what it once was.
How about if you don't have 87? It's kind of a combo thing, too, now. And they both know it. They both know it more so than anybody in their camps know it. They're two different brands. Gronk Nation, TB12. And then you got the Patriots. You got J11. Still got that one.
James White has a nice new logo, too. Sweet Feet.
Does he?
That's nice. How's that sound?
You know, this is also an appropriate time to bring up the Jeff Darlington report from almost 3 weeks ago about Rob Gronkowski, that he'd be back as long as the quarterback was back.
Oh, Jesus.
You guys remember this?
I forgot about that one. Yeah, we were like, what the hell does that mean?
And we were like, what? What? Oh, now the quarterback's in doubt?
But to the point of now, why we say and why we started, because it's Schefter. No disrespect to Darlington, to Bleacher Report, to Pro Football Talk, to Florio. Now Schefter's on it. Darlington was on this.
Sources say Gronkowski still hasn't made a decision. But despite serious consideration since the end of the season of retiring because of physical and mental fatigue, sources say. That's a weird sentence. Sources say Gronkowski is pretty certain he'll come back as long as Tom Brady remains with the team. That was from the Gronk camp.
Then when he threw in the bubble, we all kind of exhaled the next week.
Yes.
We exhaled because he threw a football. Maybe we shouldn't have exhaled.
Welcome to the offseason after you lose the Super Bowl.
Do you believe he's not coming back, or do you say what you said at the beginning of the show?
His point is, who cares? We dismiss it because it was Darlington.
Who cares? We won't talk about it today. We'll just forget it. We won't consider all the angles to it.
No, that's an angle.
No, I think there's a lot of angles to consider, and one of those angles is they're laughing at us when we spend all this time talking about it, and Tom Brady included. Tom Brady, this is a ploy. This is some kind of work. This is some kind of means to an end.
It's chapter 7 of Tom versus Time.
You know, and building.
This might be a half hour episode.
I don't like being a pawn in this. That's what I don't like.
I think the discussion isn't whether he's going to play or not. It's how it's going to get resolved and why it's happening. Right.
Right.
That's what I mean by that.
I think we're not pawns. I don't think they're trying to use us as pawns because we're talking about
no,
it.
No. And
I think he's legitimately trying to make
it's
threats.
Like the Royal Tannenbaum.
As long as we always like reset every few minutes and say this is BS and he's going to play. But why is this game being played? Why is this conversation happening? Why is he leaking this stuff to Schefter? Why is he doing all this? That's fine. With the underlying understanding that it's all BS.
What will Zoe's first words to Brad Stevens be? You can only find out by staying right here. We'll talk to the Celtics head coach next.
Are they aliens?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
3.5 to go. Celtics inbounding in front of their own bench. Morris looking around, gets it into Larkin. Larkin has to go quick. Cross half court. Larkin right hand dribble. Pulls up. Gets the three away in time. And it's good.
Man, ooh, man, everything coming up broke.
And how deflating is that for the Bucks? They make their run, and the Celtics answer at every turn.
Let's talk some basketball with the head coach of the Boston Celtics, who last night took a 2-0 series lead on the Milwaukee Bucks. It's Brad Stevens, head coach, joining us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
We're doing well. How are you?
Good.
Feeling good? Up 2-0?
Well, I don't think you ever feel good, but we'll get ready for Game 3. Hopefully we'll play a little bit better than we did last night.
How is it that Gershon Yabusele goes from not playing in Game 1 to almost immediately playing in Game 2 and having an impact?
Well, we have 11 guys, so you know they're all gonna get their spots at some time or another. I thought that Gershon would be able to give us the ability to stay big and be able to move his feet and guard. Just the way the game had started, felt like that would be a good sub at that time. And he's going to have to buy us minutes on Giannis over the next couple of games.
Coach, watch a lot of the pregame. And there was a couple little segments done on Terry Rozier. And this has been going on for a while now since he started to play more and more. And obviously, you know, with the guys out that you have. But he talked about confidence. And Abby asked him, what's different with you? He said, my confidence. And he said, Brad Stevens is directly responsible for that because he's talked to me, he's drawn up stuff, and he's continued to go with me. When did this start? Is this something you work on the side with Terry, or this sort of happened organically?
Well, I think Terry's always been a guy that I've really believed in, that I think everybody in here has believed in. Even when he was drafted and came in for the summer league, he could struggle a whole game, and then he'd make huge plays at the end of the game. And you saw it last year at times. He would make shots that would either separate the game in the last 3 or 4 minutes when we played small. He made a big shot to tie the game against Portland last year here, to send it to overtime. And you could just kind of see that growing. And I think that comes with experience. But, you know, when Danny made it pretty clear that he was the guy that he wanted to draft in that draft. And, you know, as you really started to dive into him and learn about him, you realize that he had a elite level competitiveness, great athleticism, great work ethic, and man, you got those three things, you're probably going to end up being pretty darn good. And he's done a really good job of just making the next right play, and he's staying in the moment well. Like, it's going to be really important that he continues to play just consistently moment to moment for us, because, you know, as our starting point guard and the guy who's playing, you know, 40 minutes a game right now, we need consistency.
46 points, 11 assists, and to this point, no turnovers, which has been made a big deal of, that he has not turned the ball over even once in one of these two games. Is that a focus of his, to protect the ball?
He's been great at that really the whole year. When you look at him and where he is amongst people at his position across the league, and you compare him to starters at the point guard spot, his turnover percentage is elite. So if you compare him to the other 30 starters again, and you just take the percentage of possessions he uses, how many times he turns it over, I think he's number one in the league. He's been like that all year. So he's a guy that I think is very, very sure with the ball. You know, obviously can keep people on their heels with his quickness and his ability to score, but also you know is gonna be able to handle the ball.
You know, I noticed you said off the top that you hope your team plays better going into game three, and I know that you want to get better every game, but it sounds like maybe you thought your team was capable of a lot more last night. So taking the critical angle, what are you doing wrong right now?
Well, I thought our transition defense was tremendous in game one, and I thought it was bad in game two. And if you give these guys a chance to score in transition, it's just really hard, you know. And I thought it wasn't a lack of effort necessarily, as maybe we didn't always consistently do our job on the shot, because we didn't turn the ball over. There should not have been as many transition opportunities as there were. It's going to be a major focal point of our film session today, and, you know, we're going to have to be great at that come Friday night.
Is that the big thing getting back? Because you watch them play, and I said this last night, I said, it feels like you're watching a McDonald's All-American High School team, because they're so athletic, and they want to run. All they want to do is run and score and shoot. But you've been able to make them turn the basketball over a lot, especially in game one. Is it getting back on defense? Well, is that going to be a part of this?
Yeah, I mean, we have to set our defense. There's only two people that I've ever seen on a basketball court that come with the speed and force transition like Giannis, and that's Giannis and LeBron. I mean, there's just nobody else that comes with that speed and force consistently at you. You know, if you're back by yourself and they start their head of steam at half court, you're in trouble. You can't do it by yourself. And so that's why everyone else has to be in the play. And it has to be five loaded to the ball. And you know, we were really good at it in game one, not as good yesterday. It's got to get better for game three. You know, obviously, they're going to come out amped up on Friday. It's going to be a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun to play on the road in the playoffs, but you can't give up those baskets and expect to win.
When it comes to Giannis, I think you said it's impossible to guard him last night. Is there any sort of answer? Because when you give him a little bit of space and you think he's in an area where it's going to be a tough shot to make, he abuses you. I mean, he takes the space. He does this to every team in the league. Is there ultimately any real answer to stopping him?
Well, you can't do it with one guy. And that's kind of what we were just, you know, talking about in transition. Like, you have to – everybody has to be back, and you have to, you know, make the floor appear to be crowded, because you have to be active off the ball. And that's hard, because Henson's great moving without it. He's gotten a couple of dunks off of – you know, Giannis spinning and dumping it off to him. You don't want to overhelp off Middleton, Brogdon, Bledsoe, obviously. So there's so, and Snell, there's so many guys that you have to account for. But you know, Giannis coming in transition or Giannis in isolation when they've run him at the top of the key. It's just difficult. That's why we'll throw as many bodies at him as we can. We prefer to stay bigger. That's pretty obvious on how we're trying to guard him. You know, we've guarded him mostly with Al. I thought Baines did a really good job in his few possessions yesterday. You know, Gershon's going to get chances. Shemmy's going to get chances. Marcus is going to get chances. But it has to be a team commitment.
You see a big jump from Jalen from last year till now at this time? A silly question, but seems like when that guy's in the zone, don't say anything to him, like a no-hitter's going on or something.
Well, he's been really consistent. I mean, I think he's had a great year. You know, when I kind of turn back the clock and watch him play again in summer league his first year and then at the start of last year, I mean, he's come a long way, and he's worked really hard. He cares about it. He's been great in big games all year, you know, and I think part of that is his athleticism is elite, and you know he can really get to a level, you know, that I think when everybody else is at their highest level, he's up there with anybody, and I think that his ability to score a variety of ways has obviously helped our team greatly. He's so much better playing off of actions, shooting the ball, making the right read, handling it off dribble handoffs, making plays at the rim than he was when he first got here. And I just credit him. He works hard at it. He wants to be good. He'll be in the gym shooting today. He's very consistent.
Final one for you, Coach. Al Horford, we know your thoughts on him. We've talked about him many times before. A very important player on your team. Has there been a concerted effort to sort of lean on him in this series?
Well, I think that when it's funny, when the going gets tough, Al, the ball seems to find Al because everybody feels a little bit more comfortable with him making the next right play, right? I think that he is a kind of a calming force for us, you know, and we're asking a lot of him right now. He's rebounding great. He's been great on offense, and, you know, he's guarding Giannis in transition and in the half court, and it's not easy. It's a lot on his plate, but he's doing a great job with it.
All right, Coach. Good luck the rest of the way. We'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you, Coach.
Brad Stevens on Zolak and Bertrand.
Good job, Zo.
Zo made an effort to not speak at the beginning.
Oh, you could tell because there was a big pocket of silence.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what's up, man?
I thought he was going to do his thing and... Yeah, we're doing well.
I'll still use it for my takeaway, though.
He was. We all were.
Damn it.
We all were.
I should have slipped one in.
Yeah, I already said it. I'll use my takeaway. We'll listen to Zoe's first question as today's takeaway, and that way you get props.
Thank you.
Right now, we will hear Hardy's headlines. How does that sound?
Yep,
first here. Words out of his mouth will be what, Zoe?
Well, guess what happened last night?
Sports Hub headlines.
Oh, guess what happened last night? Celtics won a basketball game.
Jaylen Brown dropped 30 on the Bucks last night to win game two of their best of seven, 120-106 at the TD Garden. Game three on Friday night in Milwaukee. Kind of a late one. Tip-off is 9:30 Boston time. Bruins back at practice after a day off yesterday, getting ready for game four tomorrow night in Toronto. And finally, we have a start time from the NHL for Saturday's game five at the TD Garden. It's going to be a puck drop at 8 p.m. Sohei Ohtani gave up a leadoff home run to Mookie Betts last night. He went on to hit two more. The Red Sox 10-1 win over the Angels in Anaheim.
You know he throws hard, so I'm just trying to be ready to hit. I don't think he walks a lot of guys, so you know, just being aggressive and you know, just trying to you know, make something happen early in the game.
Rick Porcello is a starter for the middle game of the set tonight. Headlines are brought to you by Carrier. Turn to the experts for cooling season at Carrier.com. I'm Hardy. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
3-2 again. High fly ball. Well hit. Deep left. Back. Gone! Shohei Ohtani, say hello to Mookie Betts. His third of the season. A heck of an at bat. He touches them all, and the Sox lead it 1-0.
This seems like an appropriate time to maybe discuss for a moment what was happening last night. You know, the actual games being played.
That guy sucks!
Babe Ruth. Not so Ruthian last night for Shohei Ohtani.
What fraud.
Splitter was hitting 4 feet in front of the plate.
He couldn't find that plate.
My 9-year-old could throw splitters
he
like that.
He could not find it with a full search party. He couldn't find the damn thing.
Brock Holt
you had given him a GPS.
You know what? I went to bed when Brock Holt got that hit.
Couple of bloodhounds.
I tried to give him a chance, Beetle.
Couldn't find it.
Jesus.
He was lost. 66 pitches over 2 innings. He got shelled early. Leadoff home run by Mookie Betts that I think rattled him a little bit. I think he looked concerned after that. He leaves after 2 innings and they say he has blisters. He had a blister on his pitching hand and that's why he got bounced. I hope it's true. Because if it isn't, it just means...
That story's dead.
It just means he's not for real.
Yeah. Like good teams will crush him.
It means that against good lineups, he's going to get beat. It means that he only faced the Oakland A's prior to this, and you can't make all your starts against bad teams.
Well, hitters are smart. They study. That's like guys like Martinez. That's all we hear about. The iPads. They're going to get him second time, third time, fourth time around.
Well,
and you end up figuring guys out.
Let's take a look. I mean, if you watch last night's game, the plate discipline by the Red Sox in that game was impressive. They obviously did their scouting on Ohtani. You could tell. They knew what was going on. And they knew he was missing. And he missed. And they did not chase bad pitches from him in those first 2 innings. And Mookie Betts had 3 home runs last night. And had he got to the plate in the 9th inning, he may have hit a 4th. He is locked in. That injury, you don't have to worry about that.
No.
Not a problem.
He looks good. You asked me the other day, were you concerned? I said, no. More concerned with Bogarts.
Who, by the way, was running.
It's good. Another good sign.
Looks like he's up and moving.
It's good to have Johnny Gomes last night, too.
Ooh, boy. Man. Johnny Gomes, that was something special.
That's a toolbox.
I especially appreciated him measuring the American baseballs and the Japanese baseballs in the booth.
Now, I tell you what, I did not see that part of it, but I wish I had because that sounds like actual content.
Was it not? Maybe later in the show we can grab that audio.
Yeah.
Was it not
and
good?
If we don't get to it today, maybe tomorrow.
So he left with a blister is what we found out later. Is that Shohei Ohtani?
What the team says.
The team says he had a blister. The size of the baseball is different. He's gripping it. He's getting a blister. So that would have been helpful to have a Japanese baseball and an actual baseball player. And a bona fide American hero in Johnny Gomes talk about and illustrate the difference. I don't see what the problem is.
Right.
Did it go poorly?
It didn't go well.
What could possibly go wrong?
I don't think it really...
You got a former big leaguer holding a couple of baseballs talking about the differences.
And a guy who played in Japan. He played in Japan as
Hulk
well.
Hulk Hogan went there. So he hit in Japan.
So what's the problem?
I just don't think he illustrated the point very well. I think he did a great job with it.
I like that he's got a little Sarge in him. Meaning, and you know what Sarge does, the headlines, he puts out the watch, and Sarge might not have enough content.
He's got a new thing, by the way.
But we start to slow down when I am thinking.
He accentuates the wrong word.
And
it's bizarre.
It's
unnerving.
It tells you he's gone to school, broadcasting.
Oh,
school.
I don't think he has.
But somebody gave him bad advice as to which words... I accentuate.
It's strange. It's unnerving.
It's like
you think
he's screwing the Tommy toppers of home run tags.
Well, he.
I'm like, what is going on?
It is
so herky jerky.
His
delivery
elongates certain vowels when he's trying to buy some time. And I think everybody does it. Maybe not Wallach because Wallach literally types out every word, and he's a true pro. He has a script sitting in front of him. Every word he utters is. And thought about and, you know, run through the hopper, so to speak. But everybody else, there are times you're kind of going off the cuff. You're giving the scores. You're doing the stories. And, you got to stall a little bit while maybe you're waiting for something to load or you're trying to look for something. But Sarge will do the longer version of a sentence, which forces one to make the vowel sounds longer many times during a update. He's buying time. But I love him. Thanks for filling in on Monday, Sarge. Couldn't be here.
He was good.
Salute of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
His new thing is, he says, get me over. Get me over pitch. Get me over. He kept saying it last night.
He's got his little tags, his little tag. Like,
that's a get me over. I'm like, will you stop saying that?
You know what he's doing? He's watching Eck, and Eck uses, like, that's a little cheese on that one. You know, Eck's got his little sayings. So Johnny's like, I need to develop my sayings. It's frustrating.
Okay, game itself, Ohtani shelled.
Terrible.
Not good.
Two innings. Bye.
David Price got through.
He went five.
Five innings, but I don't think he looked all that great.
Well, the pitch count was high early on.
Himself out of jams.
Yeah, he got himself out of jams, but he was working hard to do it. I don't care if they played crap teams. The Red Sox have played a lot of crap teams, too. Angels are a good baseball team. So while he only went five innings, and his pitch count got him to the point where it was time for him to go,
yeah,
I'll give him credit for a good, strong outing, just the one earned run, and he picked up the win, and he had a lot of run support. And again, that's got nothing to do with him, but it maybe gave him a little sense of security. It was warm. You know, he didn't have the numb and stingy going on in his hand. But I'm not going to fault a guy. Look, he required more pitches than maybe you would have liked. It was a type of game. It's like, holy cow, you're sitting on an 8-1 lead early on. And maybe you can, you know, stretch this thing out a little bit. But no, he had to throw a lot of pitches to work himself out of a few situations. But that's okay. When you get the job done.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the stuff. I mean, he didn't look, the actual stuff that he had. He didn't look like he had his best night.
Maybe not.
No. The cutter looked decent, but which has been fabulous to this point, outside of him tapping out last week. But I don't feel he had his best command. I don't feel like he was at his best, and I noticed that when he's not at his best, the time between pitches and the nervous ticks are never ending.
Yeah.
Grab the left shoulder, grab the right shoulder, grab the bill of the cap. Readjust the shirt. It's 35 seconds in between pitches.
It's starter David Price's back, as opposed to what we got in the postseason, where he was working quick and decisive and not methodical. Just, yeah, here I am. Boom. Let's get him off. Let's go. Let's go. Let's not overthink this thing.
I mean, they were 2 hours into the game last night, and they were only through four innings.
Yeah. That was brutal.
Well, what time did you go to bed?
After Brock Holt got that hit, was that third inning? It's single, and then next thing you know, it's 4-0. I'm done. Ohtani seemed. I tuned in to see them. I tuned in last night. You had me all excited about Babe Ruth last night.
Yeah, well, it didn't happen.
I almost watched Sandlot before that.
I don't even know that we can call him the Babe Ruth of April 18.
No, that was off. The whole hit was off Ohtani, right? So that was only the second inning.
Yeah, I'm the better for that one. When I text you, I don't even know. What time? I said, I'm good. Holt just got a hit.
I can tell you right now.
But in all fairness, it was like 11 o'clock. Second inning was like 11.
I mean, it was like
11:15. It was.
What about 11:15?
Those late starts are weird. I'm sure like a lot of people is looking forward to them. I'm at the Celtics, watching the Celtics, but in a position where I can turn around and watch the Red Sox, too, and forgot. And I look, it's, oh, crap, it's 10:10. Turn around.
10:45.
Yeah.
10:45.
But by the time you remember
Holt,
that,
all caps from Zoho.
By the time you remember that the game was on, the Ohtani experiment, the Ohtani part of it is practically over.
See, like, I was committed to it. I was committed to that game last night.
That workout with you had Dora the Explorer live.
No,
Daniel Tiger.
Daniel Tiger, get it right, dude.
Took the kids to Daniel Tosh.
Good stuff.
And then you went to...
Daniel Tosh is a fun time, but that is not appropriate for the kids.
Then he came home and it caught your Celtics, and then it did work out to your favor.
I did. I walked in as the Celtics were tipping.
And you were able to leave the Celtics while the game was still going on to watch the beginning of the Red Sox.
Yes, I did.
What was the score of the Celtics game?
They were up, I believe, I want to say they were up like 16 or 18.
With maybe about 6 minutes left.
Game is in hand.
See you
later.
Game
is in hand.
Good for you.
It got back down to 10, but then they hit a
Horford. Someone had tweeted me, you might want to go back to Celtics because they're about to blow the lead. And I'm like, nah, I'm watching Ohtani. If they blow that, do that on your own time.
Yeah, maybe a little more than 6 minutes or maybe a little bit more.
It's so tough this time of year to go from watching the playoff
games
and then switch back to baseball.
Can't go.
Not really.
Hockey to baseball.
You really thought that Celtics game was something great?
I thought. Well, they got it back.
The best stuff in that Celtics game last night happened after the game,
You get while watching a Celtic while watching a playoff. Game.
I don't have
any
the anxiety.
Game.
The Bucks blow, and they illustrated that
point for us
after the game. And we'll get to Eric Bledsoe, Drew Bledsoe, whatever you want to call him. We'll get to him coming up next.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom! Like I win. Like yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
32 seconds to go. Brogdon, pass deflected by Tatum and picked up by Rozier. He'll go the distance and slam it with the right hand.
Bucks keep turning that basketball over. Boy, that is hurting them.
Another double-digit first half in turnovers for Milwaukee. That's 10.
All right, so Jim, why is it bad that I said the Bucks blow? Because they do.
We just had a big argument over the past few shows of there's no way they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, you're saying. If you think the Bucks blow, the Celtics are going to breeze by them.
No.
Either Miami or Philly is going to be the team that's going to stop them.
Twisting my words.
I'm not.
I said, of course they have a chance. I just don't feel good about their chances.
Jim thinks they're going to win the NBA Finals.
I think if they got Philly in the next round, they're going to have their hands full, and I think they're going to end up going home.
They shouldn't advance against Philly. If they get Philly.
That's what I think.
I'll give him a chance, though. I'll give this coach and his team a chance.
Of course. Give him a chance, but it's not like I'm saying, oh, I feel good about it.
No. This should be a series where Philly would be favored.
I don't feel they're a lock. But that, what does that mean? What does that mean related to the Bucks suck? Wouldn't that support my point?
But you didn't think all along they were getting by the Bucks like this.
I don't know that I didn't think that. I don't know that we really previewed this series very much.
So you thought they were going to steamroll the Bucks and guarantee losing round two?
No, I didn't expect them to steamroll the Bucks, but as I've seen with my own two eyes these last two games, the Bucks are terrible.
God, are they bad?
I mean, they've got Giannis.
So the Celtics haven't shown you much, but the Bucks have shown you they're bad? Is that what you're saying?
No, the Bucks have shown you they have no coach.
No, wait a minute. The
Bucks have
shown played
you they
well.
Have no coach.
The Celtics have played well, and the Bucks have not.
They don't have a coach. If a guy stands with his hands on his hips. Just watch this go back and forth.
That guy needs to put some gritty players in the floor. He puts all the athletes on the floor.
Has anything, though, blown you away about the Celtics so far in two games?
Just the hustle and the drive last night.
It's great, but that's something they've always had.
Yeah.
Like, nothing's blowing me away about this.
Jaylen Brown has blown me away.
Yes, Jaylen Brown stepped
Brown.
Up. They
Jaylen
won
Brown.
A game. Did you think they'd win a game in the playoffs with Jason Tatum scoring 4 points?
No, that's a good point.
Shane Larkin off the bench has surprised me. Greg Monroe last night surprised me. I didn't think he was going to contribute that much in the series.
Yep.
But Jaylen Brown. Think that's a sustainable model, and that was what we talked about yesterday. I just don't think that's sustainable.
To make a run in the playoffs, you need guys to step up in individual games, like Kelly Olynyk did last year in that one game.
I expect Al to get leaned upon when times go tough, like Coach said, and I expect him to have stretches where he looks like, you know, $30 million.
Do you think
the
these
court.
Have been good watches? Like, these have been good, like, they good, don't feel, entertaining,
no, come on, you know, I mean,
great games?
The end of game one was a good watch. Last night, for a Celtics
that
fan.
That second half, game one was great.
And being at the game last night, where they're, you know, surrounded by Celtics fans, yes, it was entertaining. If only for the fact that they brought it back.
Wait, you went to the game, though.
They brought it back to within five and then to within four. And they climbed their way back in a couple of times. So it made it entertaining. But no, for the last, I would say, quarter and a half, it wasn't much of a basketball game. I said from the beginning, I don't think Brad Stevens would let Giannis Antetokounmpo be the guy that beats them. And that's the one guy they've got. They've really got one guy.
It's almost like he's letting him do what he needs to do, and we're going to shut everybody else down.
Right, and it's like, no. The one guy is not going to beat my basketball team.
Right.
Unless that guy happens to be LeBron James, and then that one guy could very well beat just about any team,
right,
save for a couple out west. So... And I get your point, Jim, in that you need, you know, individuals and maybe role players to step up and be more than a role player to get a win here or there in the playoffs. But last year that translated to Kelly Olynyk stepping up and getting a win so that you could make it as far as one win against the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. My fear and my prediction all along has been that that type of effort is going to result in getting you a couple of wins against a second-round opponent. It's not speaking ill of the team, and I firmly believe this, because this really isn't the team. What we saw on the court last night,
I think it's more than a couple wins, what they have,
but Brad Stevens said it again when you guys talked to him 40 minutes ago. He said, we had 11 guys. This isn't the Celtics team. This is not the ticket. This is not the movie ticket we bought at the beginning of the season. Without Kyrie Irving, without Marcus Smart on the court for this series, and without Gordon Hayward,
isn't
the Celtics.
This is what's left.
This is what he's got to deal with.
You're at a point where when you get to the second round, you go seven games, but you end up on the wrong side of the seven games.
Right.
I mean, they went 7 last year in the second round.
Right. And let's not forget.
It was a very competitive series with Washington.
This Bucks team that allegedly stinks forced overtime against you on your home court.
They went 6 against the Bulls last year. Remember the start of the Bulls series last year with everyone panicking? They were going to be an early exit.
So this is going, obviously.
Until Rondo got hurt.
Yeah, Rondo got hurt.
You think the Bucks figure out a way to win one of the next two? I think they do.
Yeah.
I hope so.
So you're looking at least 6 games to dispose of a not great Bulls team. They have an excellent player in Antetokounmpo. Great. But this isn't a team that should give a team trouble if that other team is going on to a conference finals and making a real deep playoff run.
Most entertaining part of the night was postgame. The back and forth. Eric Bledsoe is upset with Terry Rozier doing something we've all done, which is he goofed up and said Drew Bledsoe instead of Eric Bledsoe. The same way I would say Joey Cora instead of Alex Cora.
My wife couldn't watch a game.
Or Mike Stanton instead of Giancarlo Stanton.
My wife tapped out. She said, I can't watch this game because I keep thinking Drew Bledsoe. I'm like, I'm not turning it down. It's like, why do they keep saying Bledsoe? It's like, because there's a kid that plays that is Eric Bledsoe. She goes, they don't spell it the same. I'm like, yes. Yes. So what do you call him? Drew Bledsoe?
It's the way we used to call Malcolm Butler, Darius Butler. When he first came up, right? I kept calling him Darius Butler.
Darius Rucker.
I still can't nail Malcolm Brown. Like, I still screw Malcolm Brown's name up because of Malcolm Butler. There's that one name. Yes, it does.
So now
I call Eric Bledsoe Eric Snow. I get totally confused.
Eric Bledsoe's not happy about this.
Terry Rozier's gotten off to a strong start to the series. No turnovers in 78 minutes. How personally do you take that matchup?
Who?
Terry Rozier.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah.
See, now he's tripping.
What a clown. You're down 0-2.
Now I don't know who that is.
What are you upset about?
Disrespect my name, man. Know who I am. I'm going to show him who I am.
Good comeback. Maybe you should know who he is. Maybe you should do a little scouting on him, which, of course,
he's pretty good. I think he has done that. I think Jalen Brown and Terry Rozier have been the two best things about this series.
And if it's true, it shows. It showed last night that you don't know who he is because he obviously didn't do any work for this series.
Yeah, because you lost him because you didn't know which guy he was.
If I'm Joe Prunty or the hell his name is, that coach. I'm sitting Bledsoe down.
Yep.
I'm putting Malcolm Brogdon in for the whole game if I'm them. He's got some heart. Chris Middleton's got heart. Dellavedova's got heart. Put him in the game.
Middleton plays hard.
I'd be scared if I was the Celtics if those guys were on the floor. These other guys are soft.
Like Steven said, they're at full speed at midcourt. They drive all the way through the lane, get into the bucket, fall out of bounds, and end up throwing the ball back to midcourt. Like, that's their offense. How many times did they do that last night? It's painful to watch.
They're not very good.
There's no function or form in what they team. Do. No, you just tell they're poorly coached.
Celtics have been fine, and the Bucks stink. And I don't think that it's been a great watch. In fact, I think most people agree. Yeah. I don't think the ratings have been so hot as of late.
Missing something special.
Jim's in love with this team. I don't get it.
How do you not like the underdog team?
Well, wait.
Just watch when they have the superstars. You want to watch when they just have the superstars and everything's easy?
You're the one telling me they're steamrolling to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I didn't say that.
So
I said
they
have just as good a chance as any of the other three teams in their little pod. That's what I've been saying for 2 weeks.
There's a difference between liking the underdog
sign in his bedroom.
And thinking they've got a legitimate chance to go deep.
Rip on me. I'm a fan.
He and his kids dunk on that hoop he puts up on the back door. I'm kidding you, Jim. I love you.
He's Dan Aykroyd in Celtic Pride.
Hey, honey, get that green blanket up. Let's have cattle's over. Eat some green cupcakes.
He's green teaming right now.
Drink green beer. Iron me leprechaun.
I was more entertained by Eric Bledsoe than I was the game itself last night.
Jim, we're kidding. All of us about you.
90 seconds of headlines. Hardy has you covered. New time hours on the
he gets so pissy. I like Tory Krug, but I don't think they're gonna tear down Bobby Orr's statue and replace it with Krug anytime soon. Can you separate the two? That be liking something and appreciating an underdog and getting a foot back in the real world, Jim? Join us over here. It's okay. It's not bad.